Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Dr. Sophia Grant. She is the Chief of Medical Services for the Riverside County Child Assessment Team and the Sexual Assault Response Team at Riverside University Health System Medical Center in Moreno Valley. Thank you very much for joining me today, Doctor. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your work with the Riverside County Child Assessment Team?
Well, I am the medical director of the Riverside County Child Assessment Team. I've been in this role since June of 2017, and I'm also medical director of the Sexual Assault Response Team at the hospital.
Now, Doctor, you were recently involved in evaluating children who endured long-lasting abuse involving shackling and neglect. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that case made national, international headlines, actually, just because of the severe nature of what the children endured. And people, you know, were wringing their hands and saying they can't believe this happened in this community or that community. But the reality, Stephen, is that children are abused every day, every single day. And although this case was very extreme, I can guarantee you that there are other children enduring similar sets of circumstances as these kids endured. So although this case was horrific and we don't ever want this to happen, it did help to raise awareness internationally and locally about the vulnerability of children when they're exposed to abusive parents.
Now, you're also especially interested in raising awareness about sex trafficking of children.
Yes, yes, I am.
Go into that a little bit more.
Well, I became aware of sex trafficking when I saw a flyer and I called the information on the flyer and I got training. And what I learned from the training is that being a child abuse physician, I actually see a lot of the kids before they become victimized by trafficking, because being abused, being sexually abused, physically abused, neglected, is one of the vulnerabilities that a lot of victims of sex trafficking experience before being trafficked. About 88% of the children who are picked up for being trafficked have a history of CPS involvement, whether CPS did an investigation or they were in foster care, and that is a very sad statistic. At the time, I became involved with trafficking and educating other medical professionals about human trafficking. I was in Texas, and when I would tell people that I take care of trafficking victims, they assumed it was because of the proximity to Mexico. The reality is that most of the children, 83% of the children involved in human trafficking, are U.S. born. They're Americans. And, of course, nobody wants to hear that trafficking can happen in their neighborhood or their kid's school, but the reality is that it happens everywhere. Although previous abuse is predisposing to becoming trafficked, it is possible to grow up in a two-parent home and have everything you ever wanted and live in an upper-middle-class home and still be trafficked. Our children are vulnerable, and we need to be aware and alert. Just as a parent, when you're walking through a parking lot, you know to hold your child's hand. And as you have growing children, you need to be aware that there are predators out there looking to victimize your child. My work consists of educating other medical professionals about what are the warning signs to look for. Imagine if I had gone to medical school and I never learned about cancer. I would miss it every single time. The sad reality is that only 3% of physicians have ever had any type of training on human trafficking. And I have given many talks to physicians and nurses, and at the beginning of the talk, they say, I've never seen a victim. I know it just hasn't come into the ER. No, it doesn't happen here. And after my talk, they say, oh, my goodness, I have missed so many victims. So I'm very passionate about that. And, you know, no, trafficking is a horrible thing. And people used to call them child prostitutes. But there's no such thing as a child prostitute, okay? A child cannot consent to sexual activity. It's not an equal playing field. Essentially, a child who is victimized is being raped, and they are paying to rape a child. So I'm passionate about educating medical professionals, and I am very passionate about providing compassionate care to these survivors of these heinous experiences. Some kids have endured more in their, you know, short lifetime than I can ever imagine. So instead of judging them and calling them street child, delinquent, etc., I think we need to be compassionate and recognize that no child dreams of being a prostitute. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, now you talked about educating the medical professionals about what to look for, but what should the general public look for in regards to neglect and abuse?
Well, when it comes to neglect or child abuse, I think, you know, lay people, you need to be aware of the children in your neighborhood. You need to, and it's different than being a nosy neighbor. But, you know, just like if you were to live on a cul-de-sac and you know kids are on your cul-de-sac and you're driving, you would know there's a potential for children to be playing in the street. So you would be careful. So I think the general public, they can look for any, obviously, bruises are a warning sign, but I've had children referred to me because they were at the park and they witnessed a parent slapping a child, and then they call in a report. I think if you notice a child who is kind of out all day, doesn't seem to have any rules or boundaries or supervision, that could be a sign of neglect. Other signs of neglect include wearing clothes that are inappropriate for the weather, going to school in clothes that are too tight, too short, or a t-shirt and shorts in the middle of winter. Some of these kids are being neglected. Parents may be away from the home, or the parents may be on drugs or otherwise impaired and unable to parent. So those are some of the things that just regular people can look for. Additionally, if you see kind of strange behavior at a house, if you see a lot of cars parked outside, people coming and going, and it doesn't seem like an appropriate place for children to be, call in a CPS report. Let them do the investigation. There's no harm in calling in a CPS report. You can call in anonymously, but if you have concerns, it's better to have it investigated thoroughly than ignored, because when you ignore it, it might be to the detriment of the child or children living in the home.
Now, what are some of the factors that put parents or caregivers at risk of becoming abusers of children?
Well, one of the risk factors is having been abused as a child. You know, we duplicate what we see our parents doing and saying. You know, I've frequently heard adults say, oh, my gosh, I sound just like my mother. And good parenting is passed on, but so is poor parenting. So, but that doesn't mean that if you've endured abuse that you should go on to abuse. It's not something that's predetermined. But lack of education, having unrealistic expectations of a child for their developmental capability. If you're frustrated with a one-year-old because he or she isn't potty trained yet, then clearly you don't understand that children at 1 year really aren't potty trained frequently. Sometimes it's just the child appears defiant. Most child abuse occurs in children under the age of 3. And if you think about it, potty training is taking place at that time. They're gaining some independence. They're learning how to talk. They become very willful. And if you lack the education or knowledge to know what a 3-year-old is going to behave like, then you might have unrealistic expectations. Most child abuse happens as a result of discipline. So the child might do something, spill nail polish on your carpet. and you told the child, don't play in my nail polish. The child played in your nail polish. And then you spank the child, and then it escalates. I'm not proposing that children be spanked as a form of discipline, but with regular people, that's usually how it starts.
Okay, what should parents or caregivers do to get help if they feel that they're at risk of abusing a child? Where can they get help?
Well, I mean, CPS, Child Protective Services, their job is really to keep families together. And they like to provide services, parenting classes, anger management classes. You know, you can even start, you know, basic CPR. Like if you have a child who is a premature and at risk for not breathing, they teach parents of those kids CPR. But if you have problems, reach out to CPR. Sometimes if you have an older relative who has parented children, they may be able to stand with you in teaching you and helping you to parent. Frequently, grandparents and other relatives are forced to take in children who have been abused and placed in kinship homes by CPS. And sometimes it turns into hostility with, oh, you took my baby. But that might be an opportunity to learn good parenting from that person.
More and more we hear that childhood experiences result in lifelong victimization. Now, how do we know what children are at risk of more trauma, and how do we end this cycle?
Oh, my goodness. Well, adverse childhood experiences, otherwise known as ACEs, they are frequently a predictor of adult health outcomes. For instance, if I grew up in a home where I was abused and I never received validation, I never felt like I was in a home where somebody loved me, and I never felt secure. And then say my parents got divorced, that increases your ACE score. And the higher your ACE score is, the more likely you are to suffer adult consequences. That includes substance abuse, alcoholism, drug use, sexual assault, smoking, diabetes, hypertension. So you wouldn't necessarily correlate a bad childhood with a poor adulthood, but there is a direct correlation. But there is also a concept of resilience. Resilience is the ability to recover or bounce back after a bad experience. What we know from resilience is that if you have one person in your corner being your support, of course, more than one is better, but if you have that one person looking out for you, loving you, reassuring you, you're more likely to be a productive adult without taking the negative baggage of childhood into adulthood.
Now, child trafficking has, of course, been a problem in California and the Inland Empire in particular. Who are these children, and how do they fall into the hands of traffickers, and what can we do to save them?
Well, like I said, you know, most of the children who have been trafficked are American citizens. And they are kids, they tend to be kids who have had CPS involvement. They, 56% come from a home where they have an adult caregiver who is incarcerated. And they're children who are actually looking for love. So if you never had a father in your house to love you and take care of you, or the father that you had or the father figure betrayed you, you're going to look for love. The traffickers are masters at manipulation, and they are able to kind of hone in on what it is you need or think you need. If you want fame, then they will promise you fame. All you have to do is make this video. If you want money, they will say, oh, we can do this, and you'll make so much money. And they can be the Romeo pimp who, you know, wines and dines you and treats you well and pulls you in and then becomes abusive. But you might choose to stay because the good times are really good, and you forget the bad times. the children tend to have low self-esteem, but, you know, I'm sure your listeners, we were all kids, and we had moments. We all had moments of low self-esteem. And just like predators pick out the weak ones in a group of animals to prey on, that's what traffickers do. Traffickers aren't going to try and victimize a child who comes from a loving home and stability. They're going to look for the kid with a broken home who's been in and out of CPS care, who might have a drug problem, who might have a learning difference that causes them to be alienated in school, and then they feel bad about themselves. They're going to try and fill that void with their lies to make you compliant and do whatever it is they want you to do. And what can we do? Well, we need to raise strong children. We need to let a child know that they are loved. A child needs to know that they have parents, siblings who are in their corner who will give you unconditional love. Frequently, these kids have never heard, "I'm proud of you," "I love you." They've never felt stable in their home. They've never had the chance to share feelings that didn't involve judgment. They've never experienced conditional love. So we need to raise strong children. In addition, part of what has contributed to this problem is the ease of being able to buy a child. You can buy a child online quite easily, and the child can come to your home and perform whatever sex act and then have that transaction. So these kids are hiding in plain sight. The website, Backpage.com, that was the biggest source of human trafficking, was seized and closed down. But that doesn't mean that the victimization of children has stopped. It just means that rather than conducting business online, they're going to seek alternate ways of conducting business. Will it be another website? I don't know. But I know the trafficker isn't going to say, "Oh, it's okay if you make less." They're going to be forced into walking the streets, you know, looking for customers. And it's going to be more dangerous, you know. And I'm not saying that Backpage provided comfort, but they're going to be more visible and they're going to be more exposed, and it's going to create a lot more problems.
Can victims of child abuse and neglect ever recover?
You know what? As I've said before, there is always hope. I think we can overcome circumstances, negative circumstances that happened in childhood, but they're going to need a strong support system. We know that if you endure some type of trauma and don't deal with the trauma, it's going to manifest in different ways. And that goes back to ACEs, where, you know, if you saw your mother murdered, you might not talk about it, but you might start smoking at age 11. You might start using drugs to medicate yourself. But yes, there is always ways to recover. I think CPS, they do a good job at trying to ensure the safety of children and putting them into the therapies that they need. If you align with a caring adult who is going to support you, I think you will recover. But it's not necessarily a rosy picture where, oh, I was in CPS for 6 years and now I'm fine. But there are a lot of success stories. You know, I know adults who are working in this field that I'm in who were in CPS custody. And these are people with master's degrees. So you can overcome it. It doesn't define you. It's just something that you experienced.
Is there a website where people can go to find out more information about child abuse?
Oh, my goodness. A website? I mean, there are multiple websites on trafficking, child abuse. As a matter of fact, I was just on a website looking for statistics on child abuse. But if you Google child abuse, whatever your area is, lots of information will pop up. If you Google human trafficking, lots of information will pop up. But I can't think of one off the top of my head right now. But if you Google it, I'm sure you'll find it.
And are there resources available through Riverside University Health System?
Yes, definitely. The RUHS office has 2.5 board-certified pediatricians, and we are board-certified in pediatrics and also child abuse medicine. And we evaluate for physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, and we do inpatient and outpatient evaluations. Parents just can't call and make an appointment. They need to be referred to us by either CPS or law enforcement. In addition to the clinical work that we do, we go out into the community and we do lots of teaching to lay people, law enforcement, CPS, other physicians.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
I would like to convey the message that if you suspect abuse of a child or even an adult, report it. If you see something, say something.
Dr. Sophia Grant, Chief of Medical Services for the Riverside County Child Assessment Team and the Sexual Assault Response Team at Riverside University Health System Medical Center in Moreno Valley. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Doctor. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.